In the water.
In the water.
Iti thus. Yam. Which. Anusavanam. Constantly. Utkritshyamana. Been increased. Bhagavat Bhakti Yogena. By devotional service unto the Lord. Dridam, greatly. Klityamana anta hridayaha. Being softened within the core of his heart. Otkantya, by great anxiety. Vivasha, spontaneously. Amenata, to slightly open. Lochana, of eyes. Yugala, pear. Kudmala, from the flower like. Vigalita, emanating. Amala, uncontaminated. Aduna api, even now. Parama adharena, with great reverence. Shirasa, by the head. Vibharti, he bears. Translation: Dhruva Maharaj, the famous son of Maharaja Uttanapada, is known as the most exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord because of his firm determination in executing devotional service. Knowing that the sacred Ganges water washes the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Dhruva Maharaj, situated on his own planet, to this very day accepts that water on his head with great devotion. Because he constantly thinks of Krishna very devoutedly within the core of his heart, he is overcome with ecstatic anxiety. Tears flow from his half-open eyes, and eruptions appear on his entire body. So purport by his divine grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. When a person is firmly fixed in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is described as viravrata, fully determined. Such a devotee increases his ecstasy in devotional service more and more. Thus, as soon as he remembers Lord Vishnu, his eyes fill with tears. This is a symptom of a Maha Bhagavata. Dhruva Maharaj maintained himself in that devotional ecstasy, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gave us a practical example of transcendental ecstasy when he lived at Jagannath Puri. His pastimes there are fully narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay. So, Om Ganati Vrandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Gena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, what you're seeing or hearing described here are what's called the bhavas. They're different bhavas. Bhava means emotion. Right now, we are experiencing something called bhava rog. You know what bhava rog means? Anyone know what bhava rog? What is rog?
Rog means
disease. Bhava rog. Material disease. That means the material emotions. Like, what are material emotions? Well, there's emotions that are not so pleasant, like pain, anxiety, right? Depression. These are all unpleasant emotions. And then there's emotions that we like falling in love, and, you know, joy that we get when seeing a football game, or what is the game they just recently had in India?
Cricket.
Well, not just cricket. There was another game. Anyway, there was rugby or something like that. So there's a sort of like a joy that one gets from that, or a joy that one gets from money, or a joy that one gets from being praised. So these are all diseased emotions. Why are they diseased emotions? Even the positive emotions or those that give us happiness are diseased emotions, because they keep us within the illusion of this material world, and therefore they ultimately lead to pain. It's a duality of this world. And Krishna says, in order to get out of this world, what is it? Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha vyatma nicha vinivritta kama dvandvar vimuktar sukha dukha samgar gachanchi mudha padamaviyam tat. So a devotee has to be freed from, you know, positive, you know, desiring positive material emotions, or trying to escape from negative material emotions. And he has to become neutral, sama. Just like we see a Brahmin, one of the Brahmin's qualities, isn't it? So that was exhibited very interestingly by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes with Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami, when he came to Jagannath Puri, he came to through the Jarakanda forest, and he actually was fasting, and he had some health problems, so he had running sores on his body. Sometimes in America that's called eczema. You know, where you have sores on your body and pus is coming out, or different bodily fluids are coming out. And generally bodily fluids are considered very unclean, right? You know, very unclean. I become disgusted when I see, isn't it? When I see bodily fluids, ooh. I mean, one time I was having a blood test, and I even looked at my own blood that was coming out of the arm, and I started vomiting. You understand, from the bodily fluids. So, Sanatan Goswami had that, and when he first got the Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. He forcibly embraced him. Sanatan Goswami was trying to stay away from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Sanatan Goswami was forcibly embraced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sanatan Goswami felt so horrible about this. He thought, I'm committing such an offense that I want to commit suicide. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding his mind, said, if I thought I could commit suicide or go back to Godhead by committing suicide, I'd be prepared to do it millions of times, give up millions of bodies in order to do that. So don't do that. Your body belongs to me, Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatana Goswami, and I have so many purposes that I want to accomplish utilizing that body, such as excavating the holy places in Vrindavan, and writing Vaishnava literatures, etc. So Sanatana Goswami had to give up that idea. Later on, he was also feeling morose, and he was advised by this other devotee, Jagannanda Pandit, to leave right after the Rath Yatra, so he wouldn't commit any more offenses. He thought he was committing offenses, and then go to Vrindavan. And when Lord Chaitanya heard that Jagannanda Pandit had advised Sanatana Goswami in that way, then Lord Chaitanya chastised Jagannanda Pandit. He said, it's just a child, a baliya. You know, he's just very, very immature. And Sanatana Goswami understood that the chastisement that Lord Chaitanya was giving to Jagannanda Pandit was a symptom of love of Jagannanda Pandit. You know, because you really only chastise people generally who you're close to. You know, people who you're not close to, you just have an official relationship. Like if you go to the police in the French Quarter, like some of you are having trouble with the police, then you shake their hand and say, please forgive me, you know, I'll be your friend. But you don't chastise them. If you chastise them, you'll be in trouble. So therefore, but with your children, then you sometimes chastise, right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an intimate relationship with Jagannanda, and Sanatana Goswami said, I can understand that intimate relationship by how you're chastising Jagannanda Pandit. I wish I had such an intimate relationship. So Lord Chaitanya, these pastimes went on in such a way, and then Lord Chaitanya kept embracing Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami said to the Lord, you know, that I'm committing these offenses. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said something very interesting. He said, as far as a sannyasi is concerned, a sannyasi has to be, this is the point of the whole discussion, sannyasi has to be equal to both auspicious and inauspicious, or pleasant and unpleasant, or attractive and disgusting things in this world. You understand? So Lord Chaitanya said, if I saw a difference you know, between your running sores and, you know, some other situation in this world, then I wouldn't be qualified to be a sannyasi. So sannyasi has to be actually equipoised or equipoised in that way. Neither feeling the emotions, the bhavas, for the pleasant things, or feeling the emotions for the unpleasant things. No disgust, no attraction, and no repulsion. This is Krishna's version in the Bhagavad Gita. He says attraction and repulsion are felt by embodied beings. And Prabhupada said attraction and repulsion are opposite sides of the same coin. You understand? Like if you're really repulsed, like I've seen before many years ago, that sometimes the brahmacharis were really repulsed by the women in the temple. They said, ooh, why are they being? Or something. Some of you may have seen that. And that meant that they were attracted to them. Like if someone is really repulsed by some, let's say I walk through the prasadam room and I see some glubjamans, and I say, ooh, glubjamans. Ugh, that means I want to eat them. You know, that's an indication. When you're really like super negative towards something, that means you really, generally it means you have some attraction. Attraction and repulsion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, and he also, of course, Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur, who was also there at that time, said, this is an external reason, you know, why, what is the real reason? What is the real reason you're embracing Sanatan Goswami? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on revealed that because his devotees, such as Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur, were like his children. Lord Chaitanya has that relationship with his devotees. He said, just like a mother would embrace the child, even though the child, children, babies especially, are muchi. Any of you who are grahasthas know if you had babies, they're not exactly suchi. And Lord Chaitanya even said, this is a famous quote, that the mother considers the stool of the child to be like sandalwood pulp. It's a fact. You know, he said, like sandalwood, you know, like sandalwood pulp you put on your forehead and you feel it's so wonderful, the mother considers the stool the same way. Because of love. It is a fact. I mean, it's not like that. That's why the mother's changing the diapers and everything like that. But, you know, if you ask me to change someone's diapers, I will never do. You have to pay me so much money, you wouldn't have that much money to pay me to change a baby's diapers. Just, ooh, disgusting. But the mother is thinking, oh, how nice. Some fragrant substance inside here. So anyway, so because of love. If there's love, then that supersedes or overcomes any other emotion. So Lord Chaitanya described it, he said, because you are like my children, referring to Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur, then, you know, then I don't even consider these things. And then he even said to Sanatana Goswami that even when I embrace you, I just smell like sandalwood pulp, tatushima. I smell just a wonderful smell. And then he embraced Sanatana Goswami and all the sores went away. This is a story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that you can read. Anyway, so that's an exhibition of how we should become neutral in this world to material emotions. So the methodology of becoming neutral in this world to material emotions is to aspire after spiritual emotions. As we find in Narottamadas Thakur song, what is it? Goranga Balite Havi Pulagashri. You know, when I chant Lord Chaitanya's name, will I feel the hairs on my body and quivering in my body? When will this happen? So we're hankering for that. Or Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, Kabi Havi Bolo Se Dinamar, right? Kabi Havi Bolo Se Dinamar. When and when will that day be mine? You know, when am I going to experience these symptoms of ecstasy? So the acharyas, such as Rupa Goswami, have delineated or analyzed ecstasy into different categories. It's quite interesting. Like, what's being described here is or several types of ecstasy. But the first type of ecstasy that's being described here is something called the vibhava. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, vibhava is something that stimulates other types of ecstasies. What do I mean by that? Let's say if you see the chakra on top of the temple, that's not directly Krishna. It's one of Krishna's aspects of Krishna's paraphernalia. But it reminds you of Krishna and you feel ecstasy. Because like Sanatan Goswami and Haridas Thakur, no, it's a Rupa Goswami, when they came to Jagannath Puri, they didn't enter the temple of Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath's temple, because they were considered, because Haridas Thakur was born in Muslim family, and Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they had previously worked for the Nawab, Hussein Shah, and therefore they had even gotten Muslim names according to their position in the government, Dabir Khas and Sakara Malik, like revenue officer, like that. So they had associated very intimately with the Muslims. Of course, they were always great, pure, liberated souls. So because of that, they didn't enter the temple, but instead, they would reside with Haridas Thakur, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and they would look at the chakra on top of the temple. In this way, they would remember Lord Jagannath. And, of course, Lord Jagannath himself, in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, would come to deliver them prasadam every day. That's pretty nice, isn't it? When Lord Chaitanya knocks on your door, and he says, here's prasadam today. I would have liked to observe that. So the point is that's what's called a vibhava. You look at the chakra, and that reminds you and excites you and causes further emotional ecstasies. According to Rupa Goswami, there's two divisions of vibhava, which are alambana and udipana, which means directly Krishna. Obviously, if you see Krishna on the altar, that excites you. Or things related to Krishna, like a peacock feather. Like there's that story of Mukunda, the physician. He was advising the Muslim governor, and they started to fan the Muslim governor with a peacock fan. And what happened with Mukunda? He fell to the ground in ecstasy. And he actually fell off this high platform. And the Muslim governor came down, and he said, what's wrong? And Mukunda said, basically, when he came back to external consciousness, he said, I have epilepsy. And of course, the king, understanding, or the governor, understanding, understood this was a symptom of pure love of God, or one of the bhavas. So even that's called udipana, where something that's not Krishna, but related to Krishna, like if you see a flute, and it gives you ecstasy, you understand? You see a peacock feather, you see a chakra on top of the temple, you see a devotee, you see anything that reminds you of Krishna. I mean, so many things remind. Even the sun, you know, that can be, even the sun can be an udipana, or remind us of Krishna, or stimulate ecstasy. Like if you remember how the sun is Krishna's eye, right? Or like Prabhupada, like Krishna says in the Gita, that I am the tail. Even when you hear a mobile phone going off like that, reminds you of Krishna, reminds you of Maya. So Krishna says that I am the taste of water. Prabhupada said and Krishna says that the water or the taste of water can be in a stimulus for love of God. Prabhupada even said that a drunkard, while he's drinking his liquor, in between each drink or sip or whatever, gulp, he could be thinking that Krishna is this taste. So that can stimulate ecstasy. So what I'm saying, so this is a stimulus for ecstasy, or the Bhagavatam class, or the holy name. All these things can stimulate. That's called vibhava. And then after vibhava, then there's something called an anubhava. Anubhava means that which follows. Some of them are like drooling at the mouth, fainting in ecstasy, things like that. I remember there was one devotee in the early days. His name was Anubhavananda, a Prabhupada disciple. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, he
was very eccentric. So we would say that he's experiencing the Anubhavas. Anubhavananda means the bliss of experiencing the Anubhavas. Very nice devotee. I liked him, but he was a very eccentric devotee, and it appeared that he was in ecstasy a lot. Right? You remember, Drew?
Is he the one that burned down the shed in Hawaii?
No. No, that's someone.
I think I know who he was up anyway.
He was originally from Portland, Oregon.
Right. Yeah, he went back there, but yeah, he burned down a shed in Hawaii. He was living there for a while.
out of ecstasy. So that's called Anubhava. And then there's the Stai Bhava. Stai means your steady bhava. That means you're one of the rasas we're talking about. Like Stai Bhava means like your Shanta Ras or your Dasha Ras or Sakya Ras or Vatsalya Ras or Madhurya Ras. That's Stai Bhava. And then you have other bhavas like the Vyabhachari Bhava, which means there's 33 Vyabhachari Bhavas, which means bhavas that are not there all the time, but they just come when you least expect them and you can't control them. You know, something overcomes. Like we saw that with Prabhupada. Prabhupada went to Atlanta and he saw Shishi Gauranatai, a famous story. And he was singing Paramakarana Pahun Dvijanam Itai Gaurachan, you know, the two lords, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he was just so much in ecstasy to see the deities, he went into trance. That's an intermittent ecstasy. You understand? It's something that you really can't predict that's going to happen. There's 33 of those, and there's also 8 of the sattvika bhavas. That's another type of bhavas. But the Vyabhachari bhavas are actually the most interesting because they're intermittent. You understand? You can't predict when they're going to come. They're uncontrollable. So Prabhupada makes reference to those in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that especially we find that that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first arrived in Jagannath Puri, he went to see Lord Jagannath, and then what happened? He became unconscious. So that practically speaking, you know, people thought he had left his body. Isn't it? I mean, and then, because that's the highest extent of the Vyabhachari Bhava, which is called Mahabhava. Maha means great, and it's only experienced by the Lord Srimati Radharani and the eternal Nitya Parashivas, the eternal associates of the Lord. That's the highest expression. I mean, it's not that we can expect to experience Mahabhava. So what happened is when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited and expressed and experienced this Mahabhava, you know, fell unconscious in front of Lord Jagannath, the priest didn't know what to do about it. I mean, they thought, you know, just hit him and wake him up or something like that. Because many times people pretend in front of Lord Jagannath. I remember when Prabhupada was present, sometimes people would pretend to experience ecstasy in front of him. And, you know, there was one person he just like rolled on the ground and whatever. And the devotees asked, what should we do? And Prabhupada said, kick him out. And the devotees were just thinking, oh, what a nice person this is. Oh, ecstatic emotions. And Prabhupada said, just like, kick him out. So a devotee doesn't want to exhibit those things. A devotee feels that those emotions interfere with his service, like that devotee Daruka who was fanning Krishna. You know the story? And he was fanning Krishna and he was feeling so much ecstasy and he cursed his ecstasy because it was interfering with his service. So a devotee doesn't want to exhibit these things publicly because it's like an intimate thing, and also it interferes with their service of preaching Krishna consciousness. Okay, so with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell unconscious, and then what happened is that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had him taken to his house. Then later on, the devotees, Lord Chaitanya came first to Jagannath Puri. The devotees were following behind. The reason they were following behind is Lord Chaitanya was upset with Lord Nityananda because Lord Nityananda had broken Lord Chaitanya's danda. And Lord Chaitanya said, you stay behind, I'm going first. So the devotees later on caught up with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they were wondering where he was. They entered the temple and then they heard the story of a sannyasi who had fainted and was taken to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Anyway, so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took Lord Chaitanya to his house, and he was trying to ascertain whether Lord Chaitanya was still alive or not. So he put a little cotton swab in front of the nose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you can see a little breathing, hardly any breathing. So that's a symptom of the Mahabhava. And later on, the devotees came to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, understanding Lord Chaitanya was there. They chanted, and Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya at that time said to Lord Chaitanya, whenever you go to see the deity, you should take someone with you, you know, to make sure that nothing bad happens again. And Lord Chaitanya said, well, from now on, I'm just going to stand at the Garuda Stambha. You understand? Not really go close to Lord Jagannath, because this is a little dangerous. And so that was the arrangement made for Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. Later on, Lord Chaitanya exhibited many other symptoms of ecstasy, as mentioned by Prabhupada, such as when Lord Chaitanya would leave his room, and then he would jump into the ocean, and then you all know that story. The fishermen discovered Lord Chaitanya, and they thought Lord Chaitanya was a ghost, and Lord Chaitanya's body was extended by several cubits. Sarup Damodar Goswami was able to find Lord Chaitanya, because all the devotees were looking for Lord Chaitanya, and they chanted, and finally Lord Chaitanya regained his original form. Sometimes they would find Lord Chaitanya by the Kailinga Gate, where the cows from Tailinga would be licking Lord Chaitanya's body, because Lord Chaitanya would leave his room. Finally, what they did is they posted guards on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's door. The devotees, like Sarup Damodar Goswami, slept at the door, so Lord Chaitanya couldn't get out. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling that he wanted to get out, and the devotees wouldn't let him out, he started hitting his head and on the wall, on the floor, the Gambira. He was feeling so much ecstasy, you know, feeling of separation from Krishna, you know, Vipralamba Seva, Mahabhava Vipralamba Seva. And so then the devotees were so upset that they assigned another devotee to actually stay awake all night with Lord Chaitanya in his room, isn't it? And even, you know, the devotee just was the pillow of Lord Chaitanya. I forget the devotee's name right now. It'll come back to me a little later. But this devotee actually had to just stay awake all night long, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid to do anything, to express his ecstasy, because the devotee would stop him. The devotee would actually is assigned to stop Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. And sometimes this devotee would, you know, fall asleep a little bit, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling so much affection for this devotee, would actually take his own wrapper and cover the devotee. And then the devotee would wake up again. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't express his ecstasy openly, at least couldn't hurt himself in his room, because this devotee would continually be with him. So these are symptoms of the greatest ecstasies. And as devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we appreciate his expressions. We don't imitate his expressions. However, we would like to experience, you know, happiness in Krishna consciousness. The bhavas, the devotees pray for that, because these bhavas are an expression of love of Krishna. Like I mentioned in the song by Narottamadas Thakur, Goranga Balite Habi, that we pray. And so that's one of our goals in devotional service, to experience that happiness of love for Krishna. Nayanam galudashraya daranam paranam gadarya udayagira pulaka nichitam vapukada tava nama grahane bhavishati, right? When will the tears come from my eyes when I'm chanting your holy names, you know, shivering in the body? When will that bhavishati, when will it be, you know, when will it occur in the future? So we pray like that according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, tears coming from the eyes. When will that day come? As we're chanting japa, we're actually should be praying for this devotional ecstasy, or these bhavas that are mentioned here that Dhruva Maharaj in this particular verse and purport is expressing. So any questions or comments about these things?
Yes, Maharaj.
Uh-huh.
In regards to praying for ecstasy, my spiritual master told me, Ajaneer, your only problem is that whenever something good happens to you,
yeah,
you don't think you deserve it.
Yeah.
You walk away from it. I'm still trying to understand what that could possibly mean.
Well, Good. It depends on what we mean by good. If you're talking about good, then when good things happen in this world to us, it's because we deserve it. We have good karma. But when good things spiritually happen to us, spiritually, like devotional advancement, that's Krishna. We should give that credit to Krishna. It's Krishna's mercy. But also, we have done something or changed our consciousness or at least desired to get that mercy. So, you know, we have to take a little bit of credit for it. Obviously, it's Krishna's mercy. Just like Prabhupada describes that Krishna's mercy is like the rain. The rain is falling, but the rain is falling on concrete and the rain is falling on grass. So the grass accepts the mercy of the rain, whereas the concrete doesn't accept the mercy of the rain. So Krishna is giving his mercy out equally to everyone. Krishna says in the Gita, Samaham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho dinapriyaha. He says, I'm equal to everybody. So Lord Chaitanya is equal to everybody. Prabhupada is equal to everybody. Your spiritual master, any bona fide spiritual master is equal to everybody. And so why are some people getting the mercy and other people not? Because they deserve it. They want it. They're working for it. So there is, yes, there is, even with spiritual mercy, you have to do something for it. You do have to make some endeavor for spiritual mercy. At least, you know, change your consciousness. Just like I was with Prabhupada, and one devotee distributed a lot of books, and Prabhupada said he has the mercy of Krishna because of his pleasing Krishna, endeavor to please Krishna by distributing a lot of Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada looked around and said, you all have the mercy of Krishna, but especially this devotee does. So in other words, what is it? Yaya tamam prapajante tamsadaiva pajamyaham. That Krishna reciprocates with us according to how we use our mobile phones. Krishna reciprocates with us, everybody, and it's a common thing now. Krishna reciprocates with us according to how we give to him. You understand? Of course, Krishna is reciprocating more than we give. Like Prabhupada said, you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna takes, 100 or 1,000 steps towards you. 10 steps, okay. Anyway, I need more mercy than that. With me, it's 100 steps, okay? You, it's 10.
His steps are very
good. His steps are pretty big, anyway. He's called Trivikram. With 3 steps, he took over the whole universe and stepped on Bali Maharaj's head and gave him his mercy. So, so the point is, yeah, we do have to do something. Just like we see sometimes a devotee and we think that a devotee has some special mercy from Krishna, right? We look at a devotee, wow, you're very advanced. You have special mercy. But no, the devotee did something, he's endeavoring for that special mercy because the mercy is equal. A pure devotee doesn't have favorites. Like you think, you know, Prabhupada had favorites. That's mundane. Mundane conception means that I have favorites, you know, like family members. Like, you know, someone might say that my favorite is my son or my daughter or my mother or my father. You know, these are special objects of mercy. But a pure devotee is perfectly situated in the sannyas consciousness, which is sama, equal poise. Or it's vidya, what's that? Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastini shuni chaivas vipakke cha pandidas samadarshana. Right? He sees equally all living entities, whether a cow, or a dog, or whatever, swapacha, dog eater. He sees them all equally.
Sorry.
We're getting everybody's phones going off this morning. Da, 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 da. You should get some Hare Krishna melody at least on your phone. Everybody has these mundane Bollywood songs on their phone. They should use technology to at least have some spiritual thing. So, anyway, so that's the point. Yes. Yeah, you did something to get the mercy, if you got the mercy. It's a good point. Thank you for your question. Any other questions? Questions, comments, Drew?
So, the word you said for when you see some object that reminds you of Krishna is Udipana?
That's an Udipana.
Udipana,
it's a division of a Vibhava. Vibhava is the general category, which means that which excites you. And there's two divisions in that general category, which are alambana and udipana.
Alambana is directly.
Like, let's say if I look at the deities, that's direct, that's an alambana. But if I look, let's see, what else am I going to look at? Well, I look at a picture, that's an udipana. Or, like, or yeah, the garlands, maybe there's a garland offered to the deities before. If I look at you, that's an udipana. Because you're distributing books, so I just become ecstatic. And think of sankirtan. You know, one thing reminds me of something else, obviously. Because you...
But in one sense, you know, as in our philosophy, we say that Krishna is not different from his philosophy, Krishna is not different from
yes.
his holy name.
Yeah.
Krishna is, or if we could say his paraphernalia.
Yes.
So, in one sense, is it like the flower garland reminds you of Krishna, but in another sense, is it...
It's one and different simultaneously.
Well, like, for instance, we say Purushottam, you know, is directly... It's
Krishna's mercy.
It's directly Krishna, and people, by eating it, become Krishnaized. But
yeah, that's true.
In one sense, Purushottam is directly...
And another sense, it's different.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a Chincha Beta Beta Tattva philosophy. In one sense, the devotees are non-different from Krishna, but they're also different simultaneously.
Story that I probably got it in the nectar books.
Or yeah.
Satsri Maharaj.
Mm-hmm.
And so the devotees were honoring, they were taking prasadam, and Prabhupada walked into the room. So they all got down to start off on obeisance, and Prabhupada stopped them. He said, no. He says, that's all right. He said, you're with Krishna.
Yeah. Yeah,
prasadam.
Yeah, prasadam is Krishna. It's also, you know, there's different aspects of Krishna.
Right.
I mean, you could say the peacock feather, it's Krishna's paraphernalia, so it's not different than Krishna, the altar.
By the way, I wasn't trying to find fault.
I was
trying to clarify and understand.
Yeah, but this is Rupa Goswami.
Right.
I mean, Rupa Goswami says there's Krishna directly, he and his transcendental body, and there is paraphernalia, which is considered non-different, but there's also some difference.
And expansions of Krishna, like, for instance, the Sudarshan Chakra is Balaram, right?
It's part of the Chaturvyuha. Yeah, part of the Chaturvyuha. In one sense, but it reminds us of Krishna and Vrindavan, or Krishna or Lord Jagannath. So it's considered an Udipana rather than an Alambana.
Okay.
An Alambana. Or the temple is an expansion of Balaram too. Even the temple itself is considered to be an expansion of Balaram, the Singhasana and all those other things. But still, there's difference, too.
There was another story also, as you know, that the devotees wrote Prabhupada a letter and said that, you know, the traveling sankirtan in bands across the country distributing books, and they said, Prabhupada, can we have some little Gorni Thai deity band that we can worship? Prabhupada said, yes, he said, that's all right, but don't you have my books?
Yeah, you worship the books.
The books are not different from Krishna. You can offer incense you can, to them.
To the books. So for the books in Udipana.
Okay.
In Udipana. Even though, anyway, so anything, I mean, anything related with Krishna becomes spiritualized. But there's also, you know, Chincha Beta Beta Tattva. There's one and different simultaneously. Like that. It's not that we... It's not that you just take a peacock feather and put it on the altar and start doing arti to it, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't think I would do that. Or Krishna's shoes, which are non-different from Krishna expansion of Balaram. It's not the, you know, you have Krishna.
Yeah, because in one sense, like an example of that would be, somebody could say, well, you're going to hand these books out to people if they are Krishna.
Yeah.
But then they're going to take those books, maybe they'll take them in the bathroom and read them when they're, you know. And, right? It's like, how can you give out if they're going to...
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't give the deity out like that.
You wouldn't give
Radha Krishna or the Shalaram Shila out like that.
Right.
Yeah.
They're going to put them on the floor, they're going to, you know.
Whereas Krishna's name is an Alambana, not an Udipana. Krishna's name is directly Krishna. There's absolutely no difference. Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Vinatvam Namanamanyo. There's absolutely no difference. But the paraphernalia of Krishna is one and different simultaneously. Does that make sense? That's, you know, Chinchabeda, it's an aspect of the Chinchabeda Beda Tattva understanding. Any other questions or comments?
Maharaj, often through years, I've been like a Prabhupada disciple who asked me, you know, more senior than me, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you asked me a question that just happened again yesterday. And I'm trying to answer them. And of course, I don't want to take his time, so I'm trying to put everything in a nutshell. And so many times for years, this wasn't the only time, but then they just like get up and walk away and have no interest at all in what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I almost focused on it. You know, why bother asking if you have to listen? Would that be offensive to say that?
No, that's a practical thing. If someone's not going to listen to you to the answer, I mean, it's not even good etiquette. Yeah. If someone's going
to
ask a question, they better be ready to listen. You're right. I mean, that's proper etiquette. I mean, you don't walk away from it. Even in the material world, you don't walk away from someone who is answering a question that you ask.
We try to sell books. We learn to just bite our tongue and
Yeah, I mean, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, talking about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya listened to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for 7 days. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was speaking nonsense. You know, his Mayavadi interpretation of the Vedanta Sutra for 7 days, just to show respect. Very important. I mean, there's etiquette in society. That's one of the items of Vaishnava etiquette, if you ever learned it, anyone ever learned it, is you show respect to elders. Either elders, you know, materially older in the body or in higher position in society, you show respect. Prabhupada even said that we should show respect to Mayavadi sannyasis, but not listen to them. Obviously, don't start asking Mayavadi sannyasis questions. But, you know, show your respect, you offer obeisances, even Mayavadi sannyasis. So I think we have to end now, because everybody wants to show respect to Prashadam, right? Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Okay, Madan Chor. These are nice gates, isn't it? I'm happy we got them. They're very light. They're not tearing down the ceiling. Yeah. It's really nice.
There's a bolt that comes.
Into the floor.
It goes through the marble, but at the time, Diver, and he had to leave in a day or so, and he was trying to research it. Called a couple of the companies nearby. There's a special diamond bit drill
You have to use a diamond bit drill.
Some kind of special drill, otherwise it'll crack all the marble. But, I mean, technically, I think the idea is for security also. I mean, I don't know, if you pull this out, can somebody just slip underneath there if they really wanted to?
I don't think so.
Not if it's locked, right?
Not if it's locked, no. No.
I don't know.
No, it's enough. If it's enough security.
Yeah, they could. They could probably bend it and just slip under here if they wanted to. But if you have that bolt.
So
even if you have the bolt, that bolt doesn't lock. I don't think it locks. It's just, anyway.
Yeah, there should be the bolt down. No, you can have a bolt and then have a padlock on the bolt to hold
Maybe,
it down.
Yeah. But I was just thinking in terms of, because it is for security reasons that we have it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I bet you could just bend this really hard.
Yeah, I mean, if someone's determined, they can just, like, hack off the lock there, too, you know, so.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the same type of gate that's used in all the stores and the malls and everything to protect people's goods. So you know, if someone's really determined, you can go with a bolt cutter here. You can do so many things.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, no, that I understand, but yeah. but that's a but there's more of a deterrent there. But I'm saying, if somebody really wanted, you could pull this really hard back and just go underneath, you know. Whereas if you had that bolt there, and
yeah,
somehow
right.
you could secure
so
it.
So we should put the bolt there. He's right.
It's in your house, right? And you have it still.
Yeah. Let me take a picture. No, no, you don't need to open it. I can take pictures through here. It's not a problem. It's just as good. All right. A little juggernaut. Holidays, budget. Very nice. Nice temple room. They have to finish some of the painting up there. What type of paint did they use? It looks very good.
Metallic gold spray.
Spray from spray can, or they use?
Spray.
So they bought a lot of spray cans to do that.
Yeah.
They must have hundreds of spray cans.
You put like plastic, like in an enclosure, and then you have like a respirator on.
Yeah.
And just like do a little section at a time, otherwise everybody would be breathing in. And, you know, that stuff.
Oh my God. So he, instead of getting like a spray apparatus, he just used little spray cans. It looks good. It looks like gold leaf practically. Looks better than gold leaf, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they did. It's very good. I'd like to find out, do you have any of the cans so I can see what...
Yeah.
Do you have any of the old cans so I can just look and see what type it was and everything? But it's extremely nice.
He knows exactly what it is.
Yeah, he did a great job. And the walls look good. They plastered the walls, too. Oh, Balaram did that.
Balaram did this.
I really miss those clouds. I really like those clouds before.
Well, he knows how to do the clouds. You can ask Balaram.
Yeah, he said he will do that as well. So.
Balaram's an artist.
He told me that he's not going to do the clouds.
I'll tell him.
Just tell him to do the clouds. Looks really good. I mean, everything looks clean. I was just missing some of the spots up there.
Yeah, this part and this part.
Yeah, the front spot and there's a back spot.
Yeah, the archives close by, so we couldn't do that. And also we'll polish the floor again.
Yeah. And then we can find some way to fill in the cracks, too. Some white, at least make it a little whiter. White. Some grout or something. They spread it. Yeah, so that can be done. The temple room looks nice. I mean, you're all doing a good job here. You're all great devotees.